This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com.
It's Travis Ryer, BamaOnline.com. Visits me and Russell Terry from the Fallhead in the afternoon. Morning, Travis.
Good morning, Barry. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I would much rather have Turned Me Loose as bumper music rather than that from Loverboy, if you're going to play anything out there. I don't know if that had anything to do with the fact that you were coming on the air, but that song just, it's not my favorite for sure.
It's nothing like Mike Reno bringing in. You know?
Do you remember an old Florida basketball player for the Gators, a guy named Matt Walsh?
Sure do. Yeah,
head ringer for Mike Reno from Loverboy. I mean, you know, it was like his doppelganger.
Never saw them together in the same room.
Got to ask you about this. I know you've got guys at BamaOnline.com who know every bit that there is to know about college recruiting. Talking with them, Travis, and knowing what you know, is there any cause for concern that Alabama football recruiting may end up as low as number 6, number 7 in the nation?
I think anxiety might be the better word at yes. this point, rather than just full-blown concern. Because in talking with guys like Tim Watts and Hank South that cover this minute-to-minute, day-to-day, week-to-week, so many of these guys are hard to read. In terms of where they may ultimately land, Patrick Surtain Jr., Nicholas Pettit Free, Quay Walker, who is committed to Alabama. There's been uncertainty surrounding his status for a month or more now. So it's not even just the uncommitted players, unsigned players that are still out there. There's a player or two that committed to Alabama already. That there's some intrigue surrounding as we get within 24 hours of the second and final national signing day of the period.
Well, you know, and Vernon Jackson, and again, I see this because I subscribe to BOL. Vernon Jackson, they have flipping to Texas A&M. What is it about these late guys? Because you had a decent haul in the front end, the first signing day, and then now everything just seems to be so up in the air. Is it these guys just couldn't make a decision to begin with? Or are they, and I don't want to say the word divas, are they wanting the publicity? Or are these guys just the ones that are just having a really hard time deciding?
Well, I think in some instances you're seeing guys that are, also walking away from maybe their home state situation. You can never discount the pressure, especially in a state like Texas, where Vernon Jackson is from. And when it ultimately comes down to putting pen to paper, a little more difficult at that point than simply announcing a commitment maybe in the summer or the early stages of your recruitment, the summer before your senior year or even the spring before. So, yeah, as it gets closer to finality, I think it cranks up. And some of it may be outside factors that are presenting some of that, and some of it may be internally. Maybe it's a combination of both for some of these guys. But I do think there are also guys that do enjoy sort of playing the game and working it right up until signing day and keeping everybody in the dark. But I think in a lot of instances, like you mentioned with Vernon Jackson, you're talking about a Texas guy who I'm sure is still in the crunch here to maybe stay in state to play for one of the home state schools.
Travis Ryer, BamaOnline.com. The Tide has a road game about an hour away at Mississippi State in basketball tonight at 6. You remember those DirecTV commercials with Rob Lowe and then painfully awkward Rob Lowe and super creepy Rob Lowe and all that kind of stuff? Which Alabama basketball team will we see tonight? Gosh, when they look good, they're really, really good. Particularly, you know, last weekend at Florida, is there a common denominator for this Alabama team? Is there something that we absolutely just know about this team right now?
Yeah, and as we saw in Gainesville, sometimes more than one of those teams show up. You know, in the first half, it was a team that turned the ball over 14 times, but even with all those turnovers, still managed to maintain contact with the lead at just a 6-point deficit at the half, and then come out in the final 20 minutes of that game and outscore the Gators 41-17 on their home floor. So it's not just a game-to-game situation, Barry. It seems like sometimes it's TV timeout to TV timeout with media timeout to media timeout with this Alabama basketball team. So my answer to that right now and pretty much throughout the season has been we'll see, kind of to be determined as to what we might see tonight over at the Hump. But, you know, it's a Mississippi State team playing some pretty good basketball coming into this game in the last three or so and has gotten themselves in contention in the sort of the middle of the pack, but it's a log jam in the middle of that pack. So it's not much separating, you know, about 10 teams, it seems like, right now in the SEC. But, you know, for Alabama, you know, when they get the type of balance that they got against Florida, you know, if they can get Braxton Key back to being more of a consistent double-digit scorer, when they get the sort of unexpected contribution that they got from Avery Johnson Jr. against the Gators, Herbert Jones in the second half came up big for him. It was a little bit of everybody there in the second half, and as important as anything else, they took care of the basketball and they really hammered the Gators on the boards. 43-25 edge. Dante Hall, 7 of 7 from the field. So as much as anything, I guess efficiency is the key when you look at this team. And they're not always the most efficient bunch.
Well, you know, and something that I've noticed, and I look, go through the wins and I go through the losses, and it seems like, you know, I look at a loss to Minnesota, which was one of the craziest games I've ever watched, finishing with three on the floor. And then a loss to UCF, a loss to Vandy, a loss to Ole Miss, loss to Missouri. It seems like with – and I know that they lost to Arizona, but that was a really good game. It seems like when they play really good competition or competition that's highly hyped, you know, they play well. Is it just a function of youth that they don't seem to be engaged? And do you think that, you know, Avery, you know, putting his foot down in the second half and them playing together, is that something we're going to see going forward? Or are we looking for a letdown again?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it is maturity in terms of the ability to also handle success. You know, come off big wins and then follow it up with similar play the next time out. They didn't handle it so well against Oklahoma as we saw midweek last week, although Missouri is looking a little bit better now after thumping Kentucky at home over the weekend.
Right.
And I also just think it's that kind of year in the league. But, yeah. You know, Alabama throughout the season, it has been sort of one step forward and then a step back, two steps forward, a half step or a step and a half back, and just trying to find a stretch where they can hit stride has been a problem for them. And so, again, it's sort of to be determined. You know, I'm not to the point where I'm ready to completely trust this team just because of what we saw in 20 minutes in Gainesville over the weekend. But, you know, a big part of it, too, is I don't know if I buy the youth argument really in any sport in college athletics anymore because so many of these guys compete at high levels, not only throughout the season, but in the off season now, whether it's AAU basketball, whether it's 7-on-7 in football, you know, the travel baseball circuit. I think as much as anything for this Alabama team, it's been trying to develop some continuity, you know, between guys going in and out of the lineup with injury situations that have kept guys off the floor. And if they can get to that point, maybe they reach it at just the right time as we get into mid-February and closer to March.
Travis, with the NFL season over with the Super Bowl having passed, anybody who's NFL obsessed is going to start looking at the draft now and some of the projections. Who do you think is the or should be the most highly projected Alabama alum in the NFL draft? Fitzpatrick, Rashawn Evans, who are the budding superstars to be in the NFL from the Crimson Tide?
Yeah, I think going into it, it's going to be Minka. It seems to be pretty much a unanimous belief in mock draft world, anyway, what you see. And the McShays and everyone else, Daniel Jeremiah, the different sources and outlets that are coming out with those, it seems like now on a semi-daily basis. Minka is just so versatile. He's the safest pick of the group because, you know, between the two or three different positions he can play, you know you're going to get production and value from a guy like Minka Fitzpatrick. I think Rashawn Evans, in the right situation, has a chance to be very impactful. And again, based on where you see him sort of slotted right now in some of the mocks, you know, if he goes later first round, I think the potential is there. You use that value word all the time in conjunction with the draft. You know, for where someone might be able to get Rashawn Evans and the production that they would likely get out of him after that, I think that that could be a very nice pickup. But certainly Calvin Ridley is going to be in that mix. Daron Payne is going to be in that first-round mix. So I would say those four guys right now look like the most likely of early picks. But another guy too, Ronnie Harrison, at the safety position. Again, you know, if he ends up in the second round or somewhere in that neighborhood, similar to Landon Collins a few years ago, could be a guy that someone gets a really, really good deal on for where he's picked.
Travis, when you get to Pro Day coming up, and I don't know if they've set a date for that, and then you get to Combine season, who is going to be the one guy, and of course you named the five guys who are projected to go high, who's going to be the one guy that just blows the scouts away with athleticism?
Gosh, you know, Minka is the easy answer. I think Rashawn has an opportunity. Is sort of a workout guy to really, really impress NFL scouts. You know, once you get beyond those guys, you start talking about some potential sleepers.
Right.
And then, you know, Tony Brown, just based on workouts. I mean, this is a track guy. I think he's going to have that opportunity. His tape isn't going to be as good as the other guys, or most of the other guys at least. But just in a pure workout setting, I would expect Tony Brown to show very well.
Okay, I got a follow-up question on Tony Brown. You followed Alabama football for a long time. You followed Bama basketball, all this. Have you ever seen a more bizarre dresser or more bizarre human being than Tony Brown?
Yeah, Tony's he's in his own deal there. He's got his own thing working, which isn't a bad thing, by the way.
No, but, hey, you know, different drummer.
He comes by crazy Tony, honestly.
Yeah, he is. He's something else, as my late grandmother would say.
Very well put. Well, tomorrow, of course, National Signing Day. Travis, with all the anxiety surrounding Alabama's close to the second stretch of signing days, all of the information is going to be available as it happens at BamaOnline.com. How do people sign up and sign in?
Just go to BamaOnline.com or Alabama.247sports.com. Either way is going to get you to us.
Thanks, Travis.
That's outstanding. Thank you, Travis. Appreciate
it. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Travis Ryer at Bama Online.